PTSD.
Well, it's only 7:16, and I've got about two chapters of 2 Timothy to get through, so I can finish before I leave. So I think we got time. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to try and get through all of 2 Timothy while I'm here. I don't think I have enough time, but it's been a joy studying that book. Actually, tonight I'm going to speak on just the topic of three ways that you can help build the church without having to give money to it. So, just three ways. I know I'm speaking to the choir in a lot of ways here, and you know, if you're here on a Wednesday night, you're here with RU, and you're here to pray and stuff like that. I know a lot of you guys have already implemented this and can teach me things, but these were just things that the Lord's laid on my heart, and if nothing else, just a reminder and a review of my own life, things that I can work better on. If you are on a team, if you're picking a team, you want to join a team, let's say if you're a kid, you're in school, you might pick up softball, football, basketball, whatever. Especially the younger you are, the older you get, it might change a little bit. But when you're joining a team, you really want to get involved on the team. You're not asking to be picked. You know, if you're the number one player pick, it makes you feel good. And the reason is because whoever picked you knows that you're going to be all in for the team, and you're going to be a blessing to the team. In a lot of ways, joining a church is very similar to that. You know, you're not joining the church just to kind of sit on the sidelines and not really do anything. The whole aspect, if you study the New Testament, if you look at the Bible, the idea of us joining a church is we're going to get involved. We're joining a team, and we're trying to see this church go forward. And so again, I know I'm speaking to the choir in a lot of ways tonight, but it was just a good reminder to me of some ways that the Bible kind of reminds us as church members, as we're part of this family of Christ here in Fort Scott, we're part of this local church. What are some things that I could do Bible emphasizes that would help build the church out of it? And, you know, it's easy to throw money at something. Hope that's enough. But really, God doesn't need any money. What he's looking for is our hearts and our lives. So these are three ways that just from the Bible we see that can be a help to a local church, a church here like Bethel. So the first thing that I'd like us to see is one of the best ways you can help your local church is assembling together. That's one of the number one ways that you can be a blessing to the church, and we're commanded to do so. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be looking at some verses tonight, but start in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, verse 24, and verses 25. And I know most of us are going to be familiar with this verse, but Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, the author of Hebrews, whether that was Paul or somebody else, we don't really know, was writing to a group of believers, and he was reminding them of this important truth, and really this is a command, and it's something we should take as a command. It says, let us consider one another, verse 24, to provoke unto love and to good works. So be mindful of each other, consider one another, and we're supposed to provoke or encourage one another unto love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Obviously, we understand the circumstances that come up. There's people that can't be part of the church, they can't be here, whether it's sickness, military, you're out of the country, you're out of town. Obviously, that's not what the Bible is saying, that you're in sin. Bible is emphasizing. But that idea is, in our culture today, there's more and more of an emphasis in the local church of how can I do the least amount possible and still be considered involved in my church? Or how can I do the least amount possible and still get the blessing of God? And really, that should not be our attitude when we come to church. Our attitude when we come to church is, how can I be there as much as possible to be a blessing? You look at the context of these verses, verse 24, let us consider one another. So we're not having a mindset of a selfish mindset, right? We're having the idea, I'm thinking about other people, and how can I encourage other people? How can I provoke them to love and good works? All right, so if you're gonna be a blessing, if you're thinking about other people, you're thinking, okay, I'm at this church, how can I be a blessing to the people at church? I'm not coming to church necessarily just for me, but God will bless me to the church. He'll speak to me through the Word of God and encourage me. But think about when you come to church, I'm not just there for myself. I'm there to be a blessing to somebody else. And you don't have to point finger, raise your hand, or anything, but if you think of some of the people in the church today, if you were to come Sunday morning and they were gone, and next week they were gone, the next week they were there, and then the next week they were gone, you'd be a little discouraged if there was somebody you looked up to in the church. And we don't always think about it, but when I see somebody at church, it encourages, right? It encourages everybody. And that person was at church. That person was part of the service. It was an encouragement. And sometimes you don't necessarily feel like going to church, right? There's times when you're just tired. You don't really feel like it. I've been there. You just, you know, whatever's happening. Again, if you're really sick or whatever, you know, don't feel like you're in sin for not coming to church. That's not what we're getting at. But if you can be there, it really is an encouragement to everybody else, and it's a command of the Bible that you ought to be there for the assembly of yourselves together. And the end of verse 25, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the Bible emphasizes this idea of coming together. We're called out assembly. We're here to gather together. The church isn't the building. The church isn't the program. That have been saved out of the world, they come together and they're part of that church, gathering together. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. And if you look at the early church, they actually met every day. The Bible says they went from house to house daily, breaking bread and fellowship. They met every day. And obviously, we meet a couple times in the week, different situations and stuff, but part of our emphasis, our idea as a church member should be, I'm not just going to church for myself, I'm going to be a blessing to somebody else. Maybe you've been burdened about somebody throughout the weekend. When you go to church on Sunday, you say, I know they're going to be there. I'm going to reach out to them. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to exhort them while it's called today. John 13:35 states that we'll be known to the world as the people of God by the love. Really, our mentality coming to church, again, I'm going to go to encourage people. I obviously want to lift up the name of God and worship. I want to hear from God's word, but I'm there to love other people. I'm there to love the brethren. So, can you really say that you love the people of God and you love God and you do everything possible to avoid being with God's people? That doesn't really line up with the Bible. And your evidence of your love for one another, your love for Christ, comes by your love for others. So if you hate coming to church because you're like, oh, those people love me, this guy gets on my nerve. And I know Pastor kind of talked about this a little on Sunday night, but if you don't enjoy being around God's people, that's what heaven's going to be like. We're going to be around God's people for eternity. So if that bugs you, you know, you might want to reconsider some things in your life. And, you know, if you love meeting up with your golf buddies more than you love meeting up with God's people, priorities might be wrong there. You know, and there's a lot of people, especially, I don't know how much it is in Fort Scott, but in Wisconsin, where I'm from, sports is big. You've got soccer practice, you've got football practice, you've got baseball practice, you've got volleyball practice. And every night of the week, the high school is out with people practicing their sports. That's a big thing for people to give up their kids' sports to be in church. And Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, even Sunday mornings. And so if you love being with your sports people or your fishing people, put in the money. You love being with them more than you love being with God's people. You're not really fulfilling your community. Maybe in your church, but you're not fulfilling your community along with one another. So that's one way you can help build the church. It's a command from the Bible to assemble together, not like some people who, verse 25 says, they've forsaken the assembling of themselves. But when you can be there, and seek to be a blessing to that church. Second way you can build your church and help build up this church here is to evangelize the lost. We're commanded, again, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. These are verses we're very familiar with. And again, I know many people here have shared testimonies of how they've evangelized, and they've witnessed, but found in my own life, I need to be reminded over and over and over again, I need to share the gospel. This is what we as a church are called to do. This is our mission. This is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, this is a command to every believer, and the church is really supposed to be a lighthouse, a pillar, a salt in the community, is recognized here in the church. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the words of reconciliation. The verse is saying, Jesus Christ has given the church the words, the message of the gospel, the words of reconciliation. It's in our hands. Angels aren't going to go evangelize. The world isn't going to go evangelize. Hollywood isn't going to go preach the gospel. It's the church's job. And as members of the church, we can see this church really built up by our evangelism. That's the job given to us. Matthew 5:13-16. We are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We have a church full of saved people living in the community, working in the community. It really is like a city set on a hill. People look at the church made up of individuals and they see the light of God. They're drawn to it. So, as church members, we are to be a light. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That each member is called to be a part of the Great Commission. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors as church members, as part of this church. Our job is to go out into the community and be ambassadors for Christ. Live a life that others can see that has been changed by the gospel. In a small town like Fort Scott, I realize a lot of people know each other. There's a lot of connections in this town. And people know each other from generations back. I mean, it's amazing. I haven't experienced that before. And if you've been saved and transformed by the gospel, that's a blessing to you. Secondly, first of all, you've got to live it. Secondly, you've got to commit to sharing the gospel without doubt. Speak the words of Christ. Don't just live it, but you've got to preach the gospel. Participate in door-to-door evangelism. Ask a neighbor or a friend to read through a gospel. Pick Mark and say, hey, do you want to read through Mark with you? Get together once a week and just go through the gospel of Mark. Invite somebody over for a meal and share the gospel. Some of you are really good cooks, and that would be an effective way to evangelize people. It wouldn't be very effective if I tried that, but I could read through a gospel with them or something, but take them out to McDonald's or something. But use something that God's given you and try to share the gospel. That's part of the command as a church. That's our job, is to share the gospel. So first of all, assemble together. Secondly, sharing the gospel. And lastly, love one another. That's another command that's given to the church. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. There, read that real quick. 1 John 4, 7. Obviously, John is writing here, and he's writing, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. So we are commanded as a church, and Pastor kind of hit on this on Sunday in a lot of ways, but we are to love one another. What does that look like? I mean, you can come to church and sing a song and get all emotional about it and say, man, I love being in church. And then you would try to avoid certain people in the lobby after church. Well, that's not really what the love we're supposed to have. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. I have loved you. You say that you have the love of Christ. But By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not enough to say that I love God and don't love the world. But love the other world and the church. It didn't say both of those things. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 and 2 says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. So we are commanded to love each other, especially in the church. There's a special love that you have for each other in your family, right? These are your kids, these are your brothers and sisters. There's a special love that you have for them. Do things to show that love. Obviously, we're supposed to love the world, but it's different. I'm not here to love them the same way I'm called to love the church. There's a love that we have for each other in the church as Christians that we don't really have for the world, that we don't have for materialism, for other things. We should really have a love that's evidence for each other. So how do we do that? Well, we can pray for each other. That's the easiest thing to do to build up this church. Something anybody. You might not be able to assemble together. You might be sick. You might be out of town on vacation, but you can still pray for each other. You might be overseas deployed, something like that. You know, something comes up, but you can still pray for the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, pray always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. All saints. So an easy thing you could do is get a list of all the members at Bethel Community Baptist Church. And every day just pray through 5 or 6 of them. You'll get through the whole list in a week. Or you just pray for one each day. You'll get through it more than a month or so. So that's something I've been trying to work on, is just going through the membership list and praying. You pray for every person that needs, for every person this year. So we're commanded to pray for each other. If we're going to love each other, we need to be praying for each other. We need to be showing our love by praying for each other. First thing. Secondly, discipling each other. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. So every member of the body, of this church is joined together. They provide something. They supply something according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. They get an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Basically, all these members of the body all work together for the good of the body. You think about every part of my physical body has a purpose. It's joined together so that the body itself functions as it should, so that it's healthy, so that it's strong. That's how every member of the church should see themselves. They're all part of this body for the edification, for the building of this body. So that we all come into Christ. That we all look like Christ before we even get to heaven. Obviously, we're not going to be perfect, but our job as believers is to encourage one another to follow Christ. If you're burdened for another church member, God may have laid that on your heart so that you go and try and disciple them. It's not just pastor's job to disciple. It's every church member here called to disciple one another. As pastor talks to you guys, you're discipling him. If you talk to one another, fellowship with each other, you're discipling each other. So if you're burdened for someone, reach out, try to help them. Obviously, we're not trying to go around pointing out each other's faults all the time. If you see someone doing something good, encourage them, especially the teenagers, the young people that are younger than you, that look up to you. Encourage them. If there's something that maybe they don't look like Christ in that area of their life, leave it out. That's our job, is to encourage one another to come to Christ. So make sure every member of the church is growing. It's not just the pastor's job. We're all meant to go out and encourage one another. This requires humility. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, I notice this is something you're struggling with. They're doing it in love. Try to recognize that. Even if they have, maybe you say, oh, they didn't have the right spirit. Try to grow it. You know? And it requires humility. We're all trying to be unified together. But as we think of the church, how can I, this year, the rest of the year, the rest of the month, build up this church? Well, I can do it every service. seek God. What are the ones that are seeking? I can evangelize. I can try and see people added to the church through gospel witness. That's my job. And we're all committed to love one another. Pray for each other. Pray for the membership. Pray for the people that may be attending, have become members. Pray for the people in the church. Pray for souls to be saved. So, just an encouragement tonight as we think about some ways that we can try and help.
Thanks, Taylor, for those reminders.